Everything is about the great virtue. And whether or not you understand these discourses, whether or not they can make an impact upon your life, you have to be of the ilk. You have to become aware, not just informed, but aware. And a lot of people do not understand the difference between being informed and having any sense of awareness. Where did all this begin? Where did the universe start? These are questions we cannot fathom. But I want to start off with something that Lhotse said, and maybe end this series of discourses with something that helps you become aware, not just understand, but become aware. I want to say this to you at the beginning. If you try to understand the flavor, the meaning, the insight of the Tao through your mind, you will miss. The trajectory of this kind of teaching goes beyond Gregory Edward Penn thinking, beyond your thinking. I can't make sense out of the Tao because my mind is purported and positioned and postured in its sensibilities. So I really can't understand any of this through Gregory. I can only intellectually deal with it. And in doing so, I don't become aware. I become learned, but I don't become aware. And I have to ask myself, do I wish to become aware? What does awareness mean? To be aware is to understand the sacred. This sacredness has nothing to do with the whole idea of religious folderol, religious belief. No, this sacredness has to do with you, me, not as people, but as the state of life, the state of our being. What is sacred? What is beyond the rituals of my indulgent mind and emotions? What can I really make sacred, allow to be sacred? Listen to this teaching from Lhotse. Something wonderful existed before heaven and earth were manifest. It is silent. It is sacred. It alone never changes. It acts, yet no actions accrue to it. It embraces all things with love, but it asks nothing of itself. What name do I give this nameless one? I shall call it the Tao and glory in its power. The whole life is sacred. And people are always asking me little things as if they really cared, what it would take to awaken. People don't want to awaken. They don't believe in it. Deep inside your mind, you don't believe in it either. And I understand why. I am aware of your mind because the Gregory Edward is just like you. But to understand the sanctity of life itself and how our living should mirror that sanctity, that sacredness, that virtue, is something that most people don't have enough time for in their busy life doing nothing with all of their human heart. They just don't do anything with their life. And they are fine just getting through. trying to have enough money and enough wherewithal to comfort their meat suit, to make their life easy. And that's what people want, something that is easy. There's a difference between easy and simple. Easy is convenient to my senses, my Gregory Edward and his selfishness. But when I come to the place where I'm looking for insight, true loving insight, I have to go beyond my carelessness. I have to be able to see things in the light of a love that is greater than Gregory's idea of love. I try to listen. The spiritual practice is about one step, not many. One. This is not a journey like everybody would have you believe. It's not a journey at all. It's all about just one step. It's about love, as Lhotse talks about it. We are not interested in love. We are interested in being loved. But we are not interested in love at all. And why? Because we can only know our emotional love, which is bent and broken and biased and has nothing at all to do with the significance of authentic love. We are not interested in authentic love. This is why it would be very hard, if at all possible in this life, for you to become a real student. A student is someone who is willing to take that one step, to cross the line beyond the five senses and become aware. And rather than fighting with this awareness, you come to find out the sacredness of your life and that your living must reflect your life. And when you don't know your life past philosophy or religion or belief, then you have nothing to hang on to. You have nothing to help you. Nothing. You miss. And missing is big here, because as I watch people in general just run around at the grocery store, they all wind up at hospice one way or another. They don't really understand what they're doing by feeding their body and thinking that if their body is fed, that it is satisfied, and that's all they do is worship their body. Worship taste. And Lhotse talks about taste. We overdo it. We eat those hot chilies, as it were. And we hurt our palate. And then pretty soon it's the only thing we want, something that is not nourishing, but something that is emotionally gratifying. Yes, it is just one step. Sacredness is understanding that step. And people look into the world and they try to understand this sacredness by what they think is important. And money, power, prestige, pride is the most important. To have a sense of pride. Listen to me. Once it happened that the Buddha asked one of his disciples, who was questioning him on the meaning of life. He said, "Can you find anything which is worthless in life? This will answer your question. Can you find anything that is worthless? If you can, please bring it to me." Well, the disciple thought for many days. And Buddha inquired every day, is it happening? Have you found anything that is worthless? After a month or two, the disciple came to the Buddha and said, "Sorry, I looked all around. I looked hard. I looked high and low. I could not find anything. I couldn't sleep. The question was burning inside of me. I could not find anything worthless." The Buddha smiled. He said, "Now go find anything that is of worth in this world. How many days will it take you? How many months will it take you?" The disciple laughed and said, "No need, no need." He took a straw from the ground and gave it to the Buddha in that moment and said, "This is enough proof. This is of worth." It is said that the Buddha blessed this disciple and said, "This is how one should look at life. This is the right attitude, the right vision, the one step, as the Buddha called it. It took you months to find something worthless, and you couldn't find it. It took you one single instant to find the meaning of a piece of straw. Now take this sacred moment. This is how life is. Take the one step." I don't think most people want to take that one step. Our love for evil, our love for being evil and chewing on it, making it seem like the taste of the tasteless in us. We enjoy being contrary to life. Everything, for most people, has to make sense to them. And if it makes sense to them, then they can understand it. But what good is this understanding if it does not bring you to the one step to cross over the line from that of your humanity to that of your divinity? Do you really think your body is all that you are? That what you think is the ultimate of thinking? Do you think that your thinking is sacred? No, you're looking for right, not sacred. And you're missing your life, that one step that you're not willing to take. When I am working with people, the conversation of the practice, the insight, the sacredness stops when the subject of love is brought up. People don't want to talk about love. They're afraid of it because it looks like another responsibility. You have to respond to love. You have to be selfless in love. That's taking the one step. People don't want to take that one step. Maybe you don't want to take that one step. Because in that generosity, your senses say, well, you'll lose it all. You'll give it all away. There'll be nothing left for you. You'll be homeless. You have no willingness nor the ability to see beyond your nose, metaphorically. And when you look at your life and the meaning of it, it is very difficult for you to see the manner of the way and the virtue, the presence, the power of great virtue. Virtue is what you're made of. It isn't your ego. It isn't your pride. You have to find the goodness of you, and you have to take that step into that goodness, no matter what your senses may tell you. you cling to the worthless. What has your life brought you? Money? Survival? People who are going to leave this plane? You won't have them for long. Some of them, you're glad that that's happening. And others would be very sad for you because they support something in you that you enjoy. Your falderal, your foolishness, your evil. And you know what it is when you hold back, when you take the worthy, which is everything that is around you, and you make it seem worthless to your ego, via your ego, because you don't want to be responsible to it. I mean, honestly, you don't want to experience anything other than yourself. And if you can't experience yourself, it frightens you. Why, you might be stupid. Well, you might be foolish. Well, you might have missed the joke, which you and I both become. We are both the joke and the punchline in our own life. Because we won't take that one step. Don't make this practice arduous. Don't make this life arduous. Don't make it that way. If you make it that way through how you live in this world, withholding, being unkind, living without any sense of virtue, you destroy your ability to let love live you. And that's what it's really all about, to let love live you. Not the Gregory Edward, or whomever is listening to this discourse. No, you have to live beyond that, beyond the beyond. And if you're too afraid to do so, which 99 and 9/10 of the people I know are, then there will be suffering. And you will think, why is this happening to me? Because you won't take that one step to go over what you think makes you comfortable, what makes sense to you. I watch this all the time, both in the people that I try to help and serve and those that are just the people in the world, the riffraff of living, as I call it, where they don't want to consider anything other than their own self-righteousness. And that's as far as they go. You don't want to be called on yourself. You don't want to be called out. You don't want to see how you've made the sacred seem foolish, meaningless. The worst has already happened. When I do not make this sacred life sacred, when I don't allow myself to have the joy of just being in joy, I miss my whole entire life. And there's no catching up to it, because by the time I realize how far behind I am, I give up. Because I have no ilk. I have no hunger and thirst after righteousness, as Jesus put it. You can do this. But it's going to take energy. It's going to take love. It's going to take a devotion to letting love live you. This is not a saying. It is not an attribute. It's the way of life. It's the one step. And until you're ready to take that one step, all you'll be doing is pushing and pulling at your daily living. Let's meditate together. In the beginning, there was the void. The one. The one without a name or a form. In this one is the being in whom all things exist. This is the living one. This is the sacred. Watch. Observe.